Good evening, everybody. Happy Tuesday. This is Jeff at Moving Train Radio with my co-hosts Heidi and Dave in Minnesota. And we're not talking about politics tonight. We're talking about football. The NFL season is almost coming to an end with what should be the most exciting day of the even more exciting than the Super Bowl, in my opinion. The two playoff games that will determine who goes to the Super Bowl. We've got the Colts and the Patriots. The Colts at New England in the AFC and Packers at Seattle in the NFC. All deserving teams, I guess. Although I'm no fan of the Patriots, I can't say that they're a bad team because they're not. They're a good team, even though Belichick cheats, which we all know. If he's able to cheat like he usually does, maybe they'll win. Do we have any callers in the queue yet?
Let me see. Hold on, the chat room's kind of problems. I mean, the site's having a little bit of an issue. Technical difficulties.
We should just babble for like the first 5 minutes while the it seems like the first couple of minutes there's like garbled and noise.
Yeah.
It settles down after a few minutes. So.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. And it seems like the website's acting a little funky too. So I don't know if everything's related that way. So I'm just gonna.
Yeah.
If there's a caller that's waiting in queue, just be patient because sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. So just be patient, and we'll get to you when we figure out what's going on. So did you want to talk about the, I guess, the biggest story right now? After this past weekend, of course, is the story regarding the catch. And if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, it's Dez Bryant's catch, fourth down, caught, what was it, on the 1 yard line, 2 yard line?
It was just shy of a touchdown. Yep.
Yeah, and when you watch it on the air, and I actually missed. I personally missed it until it had already occurred. And, you know, when I was watching it, I was thinking, oh, that's a catch. So, there's nothing going to happen. You know, it's a catch and they're going to win. And then, they have the one official that's on TV now, too. And, so they talk to the official about, stuff like this. Fox, and he'll give them his thought process on how they're going to rule and stuff. And he was the one who, talked about the catch and that it was not a catch. And I was thinking, well, that just doesn't make any sense. It looked like a catch to me, too, as much as I do not like the Cowboys. But it's in the rule book. It's a catch. It's not a catch.
Because there's probably like different camera angles that we don't see, and then, or if you're actually on the field, football is actually better for that because the field is rectangular. Baseball calls are really tough to judge if the ump's got it right or not because the umpire is standing right there. And it's really tough to get a good camera angle to see if something is a good call or not.
Right.
Probably why they don't have replay. But now they have like the electronic strike zone and stuff like that. And umps do make mistakes, but with 162 games, bad call is not necessarily like the end of a season, like, you know, like a bad call. Like, I think that the Lions got a bad call the week before. So if it wasn't for that bad call, the Cowboys wouldn't even have been in that game.
Did you see what the Lions tweeted out after that game?
No.
They tweeted out, "Sorry, Dallas Cowboys, we know the feeling." Yeah. So.
That's good. Yeah, it was kind of rude. I had a really tough time mustering up much excitement. I try to go by first by my geography, then, you know, where I might have relatives. So I was kind of like in the Bengals.
I like the Bengals because I like the teams. Yeah.
Yeah, then I was liking the Ravens because Joe Flacco is from around here, you know, my neck of the woods. And and the Lions because anybody who plays the Cowboys. Plus, I got
Deserves.
We have some the long-suffering fans, like Lions fans and Bengals fans, who get this close.
Yeah, I would have loved that too. I usually, you know, for me, and you know this, we've talked about this before. You know, I'm a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so pretty much after they're out. I'm a fan. They're my favorite team, but I'm honest with myself knowing that, you know, it was an uphill battle for us to get into the playoffs and start winning. And then when we lost our running back there, I mean, we really had nothing else. I don't think we would have been able to get to the Super Bowl unless, literally miracles would have happened. So, you know, and then after we're out, it's just, I kind of take a look at what's out there. And you're right with both the Lions and the Bengals. It would have been nice for the Bengals. They haven't been in there since, 1990 to the Super Bowl, which I think Icky Woods was their was running back at the time. I think it was 1990. And so for those who don't know who Icky Woods is, it's the Geico commercial with the cold tux.
Yeah.
That's Woods, yes.
The Icky shuffle.
For those who don't know who he is. The Lions have never went to the Super Bowl, although I'm in Minnesota, so the Lions are in our division. And they're a pretty tough team. They're at least lately, you know, Ndamukong Suh is amazing. We could have a discussion about what would be maybe considered dirty plays or whatever. But you know, he's pretty amazing. They've got a great defense. They've got Megatron, who's also, you know, great wide receiver. So they have a lot of talent. They just, you know, they're not firing in all cylinders. And I think part of it is, you know, they made some dumb penalties when they played the Cowboys too. That were, you know, you don't stomp on people, you don't go after people, you don't hit the quarterback. You know, that's their typical. And I want to almost call it Raider like football.
Undisciplined play.
Right.
Hits and stuff like that can just kill you. It'll cost you 15 yards at least. Give the other team an automatic first down. It could get you tossed out of the game if it's bad enough. So,
I mean, and when you're playing, you know, when you go to the playoffs and you beat, playoff caliber teams, which everybody was, I guess you could argue that the Carolina Panthers were 7-9, I think, and won their division. Everybody else had a winning record, so you're meeting a higher caliber of team than you would if it was just a regular season game, especially in our division lately. That annoys me. I mean, I like them, but it annoys me to watch it. you know, because my first thought is, what the hell are you doing? I mean, that's just ridiculous that you're going to give up a 15-yard penalty for something so ridiculously stupid, or get fined. I mean, what are you doing? So, you know, so part of me, you know, with the Lions, that's always my, you know, when I see them play, I always think that. But, you know, with everybody else out there, you know, it would be nice, like I said, the Bengals. I really do like the Seahawks. I like, you know, they have a lot of talent. They're a younger team. I've always really liked defense. In fact, I usually my favorite players tend to be on the defensive side of the ball versus the offensive side of the ball typically. You know, like Troy Polamalu and Michael Strahan,
yeah.
People like that. So I really like that hard-hitting, fast defense. I think that's really, really fun to watch, and it's fun to see them, you know, just completely destroy other quarterbacks and mess up their game, like, you know,
the last
Super Bowl.
The Ravens were rocking and rolling up until that last game.
And I like them, too. I think they're really talented.
They played a great
team.
Great defensive series. But how many more years does Tom Brady have left in him?
Isn't he about the same age as – isn't Peyton, like, maybe a year or two older?
I don't think
–
I don't know.
I mean, I'll look it up while we talk, but I thought that, you know, because they're saying now that was probably Peyton's last game. At least that's the speculation.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's true. I don't know. I mean, Tom Brady is 37 years old, which is ancient for a quarterback. And Peyton Manning is 38. And Drew Brees is 35. They just happen to have them on the same list. So he's pretty old for a quarterback. I mean, that is ancient for a quarterback that's still starting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's extreme.
I think he should have retired after that neck injury. And because he's always going to be remembered for the Super Bowl choke and this playoff choke, especially the last year's Super Bowl choke, which was, you know, so offside. I was just sitting there. I just sat there slack-jawed watching the game. I was just, like, watching, saying, this has to turn around at some point. And it didn't. I couldn't believe it was that's the same team that I had been, from day one, had picked to go all the way, because they were so good during the regular season, it's like not even, you know, first play of the game is safety, and then like downhill from there.
The Patriots, you know, went to the Super Bowl without a loss. And the same thing, they were beaten too. It's almost like, you know, they work so hard during the regular season and they completely destroy people in the playoffs, but then they get to the Super Bowl and either it's such a letdown because it's that 2 weeks between the last game and the Super Bowl, or they're tired because they have been playing at such a level that by the time they get to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
they're exhausted. I mean, I don't, you know, it would be interesting to know what, you know, what goes through their heads. Is it just too anticlimactic? Is it too long? I mean, I've heard the complaint before that it's too long a period of time between, you know, the last game of the playoffs, and then there's that two-week time frame for the Super Bowl, because they're so used to playing every week that when you go to that second week is just, you know, your body wants to go play and you don't, and it's a letdown mentally and physically. So
it wasn't always that way. It used
to be a week.
Yeah, and I remember the it being all over by the end of, you know, because a friend of mine just posted today is the anniversary of the Jets Super Bowl win in 1968. So that was the Super Bowl on January 13th.
Right.
I don't know if they were playing 14 games back then or 16 games, but you know, they managed to stretch the season out. You know, with the bye weeks, it's actually a 17-week season, not a 16-week season. And then they have that one the week between the you know, the finals and the. And the Super Bowl, yeah, maybe they. I don't know what the reason for that is. That may help them rest up, or if they, you know, maybe they should just go back.
Or just
build up interest.
I thought the reason was so the first week. The first week is more the. I think it was the first week is more hype, or more like, you know, everybody has to talk to the press and everybody gets the pictures, and then, you know, they have all their interviews, and that, you know, it's press day, and all, you know, every day is a press day, and every day you do all this stuff, and you know go around the city, and you know whatever, all that happens the first week, and then the second week is when you get close, you know, because you're closer now, that's when the teams get together. And they, you know, figure out their strategy, and they practice, and they do all that stuff that second week. And that is, you know, as long as I can remember, it's been 2 weeks. But I have to look up when they changed schedule.
It wasn't always that way. It was it used to be all over by. Like the last weekend in January, at the latest.
Yeah, because now it's the 17th. Yeah, we didn't do bye weeks up until a decade ago.
Yeah,
bye weeks are only like 10 years old, right? And
yeah,
that's why you get the 17,
that was,
and that's why now it's going into February.
That was to stretch the season out an extra week. So. All right, let's look at it. Yeah, I'm going to let you do most of the talking, Heidi, because you have more technical knowledge of this stuff than I do. I really like Aaron Rodgers. Out of all the players that are playing, I think, you know, he's a, you know, worthy successor to Brett Favre. I think he's better than Brett Favre. And I always just kind of like the Packers, no matter who they're playing, even if they're playing, you know, a team that I like.
Here in Minnesota, you try not to be a Packer fan, although I will say that I actually really like Aaron Rodgers. I don't mind the Packers. I have Vikings fans that would be like, what do you mean you like the? Yeah, I mean, they would be very angry and not happy with the fact that I said that I don't mind watching. I don't know why it is, but a lot of the people that I know that are Vikings fans, and you it's like understood that you hate the Packers. And usually that's because they're it's the biggest rivalry we have. Even Chicago and, Detroit aren't even anywhere near the same level of rivalry. Here, when, you know, we play them twice a year, and that is the game that everybody wants to go to. It's a madhouse. It's insane.
Yeah.
You have people walking downtown wearing cheese heads on Saturday night. It's like, what are you doing? But so, you know, and that's annoying. I will say that their fans are annoying. And I collectively annoying, not individually annoying. I mean, just, you know, with the cheesehead thing and every, you know, the green and gold, and they have, and because we're so close, You know, when it's a Packers versus the Vikings here, they like half the stadium is filled with Packer fans. So it's just annoying.
Yeah, there's pretty similar here. Even though everybody hates the Cowboys and the Eagles, Cowboy games are always the most anticipated around here. The Giants, the Meadowlands, the stadium where the Giants play, which I can't remember the name of, I just call it the Meadowlands, is only less than 2 hours up the New Jersey Turnpike, and where the Redskins play in Maryland is 2 hours down I-95. So,
right,
you always see a lot of and there's people, and then there's like in New Jersey, New Jersey is split in half. Eagles fans live south of Trenton, and Giant fans live north of Spedden, if you know anything about New Jersey geography. So you'll see Giants fans at Eagle games and Eagles fans at Giant games. And the Redskins were so bad, they were giving away tickets for free. At the end of the season, and they were selling, except for the Eagles, the game with the Eagles, they were selling tickets for $30.
Wow.
And I was tempted to go, but I'm not going to give that prick Snyder one cent of my money, plus take up a whole Sunday to drive to Maryland, and he's got the stadium. You know Washington D.C. You know how great their mass transit system is. The Metro.
Right.
He built a stadium. I think the town's called Landover, Maryland, and it's right just out of the reach of the Metro.
What?
So you have to drive. You have to drive there, which means you have to pay to park there. As opposed to say, the Washington National Stadium, which is right at the end of, there's a Metro stop for the stadium. Same thing in Philly. There's a subway stop at the complex. They everything about the Redskins sucks.
That's interesting because we have mass transit here. We have a train and buses, but we have light rail transit. It runs on electricity. And it was a point to start the first line so you could get to Vikings games and Twins games. It's on the same line. You've never been to Minneapolis, but on the one end, and obviously now the Metrodome is going to be our new stadium, which, by the way, they're working like every day. Every day we see stuff changing. They're working. It was 12 below zero today this morning. They're out there working. Crazy. The Metrodome is on the one edge of our downtown, and the Twin Stadium is like on the other edge, which is called the North Loop, which you could look at it as like the, what word would I call the hipster part of Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis would be the North Loop. But they make a point of... They made a point of having the rail have the stops at both of the stadiums. And we took the train once to a Vikings game, and we got going there. We had to pay, which is $2.25, no big deal. On the way back, our ride was free, but literally you're like sardines packed into these train cars. They made a point of it because traffic in downtown Minneapolis and parking – sucks ass. It's expensive during games. There's not a lot of it. And so it was, it's just, you know, it was a point. And to hear that they would put a stadium somewhere where you can't get there on public transportation makes no sense to me. It's just, I don't understand what logic or why you would do such a thing.
Well, it's Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. 3/4.
And oh, I was going to say, Jeff, it does look like we have another caller, too. So we have two callers on hold now, and I can see the board now. So hold on just one second. So caller? Okay, so we have them both on, caller one and caller two. So you both are on the air.
Just remember, anybody who's new, we have a little bit of delay of all of our mics are not exactly synced up, so we'll talk and then, you know, pause for a moment, give somebody else a chance to talk so we're not talking over each other. Okay, who do we have?
Well, let the person that's going to be pleasant and positive speak first.
Well, that would be me.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
No, I meant of the callers.
Can you hear me, Jeff?
Is
Hello?
This Kathy?
Yeah, it is. Kathy Hagen.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hagen.
How are you? I'm getting a good laugh out of the Pittsburgh Steelers fan talking about how they hate Green Bay.
Well, I live in Minnesota, so...
I know.
Yeah,
oh,
so
I hear the backpedaling. There go the pedals.
No, I've always been a Steelers fan. I live here. By default, am a Vikings fan. Yeah.
Tough being a Steelers fan. Tough being a Steelers fan when the referees aren't on the field, throwing the flags. You know, Ben Roethlisberger calls all the games. You know, he's like, hey, that was an offside. Out comes the flag. You know, it's tough.
Well, if that was actually the case, he'd still be in there.
But you know, that little bit of a toe into that nice, you know, tepid water of the playoffs, that put a lot of money into the coffers of the Three Rivers.
I've heard these before too.
And let me tell you, I think about Detroit Lions and, you know, Megatron, and I heard you singing his praises, and oh, my God, you know, he's so great. But you know what? Anybody who thinks that Detroit will ever get to a decent playoff game is crazy, because this is the NFL, and it's all about the dollar sign. That's all we do it. Come on. You know, look at the team now, playoff hopes, right? We've got who? Green Bay, all right? I'm not basing anything I'm saying on any stats, okay? So I don't know the Google, you know, you guys can Google, all right? But let me tell you, you know, I'm guessing that the number one money-making team in the United States is probably the Cowboys. And I'm going to guess, I'm going to say the number two money-making team in the United States is the Steelers. And I'll go ahead and take another guess, and I'm going to say number three is the Packers. All right? So the fact that the Cowboys, you know, won that game a couple of weeks ago on that iffy call, which was not an iffy call, it was the Jerry Jones is paying me, and I'm wearing black and white, okay? It's not an iffy nothing. Okay, it's like in the olden days when I was a kid, and the DJs were paid to play a record. It was payola. Okay, so whenever I watch a Cowboys game at Cowboys Stadium, whenever I watch a Steelers game at Heinz Field, I'm thinking, whenever I watch a game at Foxborough, I'm thinking, okay, there's a huge the away team has a huge deficit to overcome, and the bus hasn't even pulled in.
So, let's have our New England fan weigh in on that comment about Foxborough. Do you think the fix?
Being naive, but I mean, compared to other sports, I mean, football, you know, is close to, you know, an economic level field. I mean, you know, compared to baseball, baseball's ridiculous. I mean, you know, all it is,
yeah,
you're in a big city, you can fill the stadium. I mean, the fact,
you know, you're in Boston, or at least Massachusetts. You know, I'm in Minneapolis. The Twins, I mean, take a, how much are we paying? We have nothing. I mean, literally nothing. I think
I mean,
one of the lowest
Green
teams
Bay.
Here. The lowest team is like, what, the Marlins, I believe? The Marlins,
yeah.
Or what's the other Florida team?
Tampa Bay,
there's
Buccaneers.
No way
Tampa Bay.
There's any parity in baseball. There's parity in football. You know, and I mean, one of the things I was going to say is, you know, you can look at and argue with the baseball point, small market and large market teams, okay? If we were arguing that in baseball, Dave, what do you think the chances are of my Minnesota Twins winning the World Series in, say, the next 10 years?
Well, not great. I mean, they're not that good. But, I mean,
but
Kathy, you know, mentioned, you know, an economic powerhouse being the Green Bay Packers. I mean, what's a 20,000? I mean, cities, the stadium's bigger than the city, for God's sake. So, I mean, any power they have, they damn deserve it. I mean, they
well, you do know
earned
that
it by their football
really
tradition and their
the
football excellence,
the
right?
Because, you know, because
the
you have
Packers
a
are the
economy,
only
economy, you have
team
a,
in the
you
NFL.
Know,
the Steelers, I mean, the Packers are owned by their fans. They're a socialist team. They are not owned by Jerry Jones. They're not owned by, you know, Ziggy Wilf. They are owned by their fans. Their
right.
fans own them. They are
and
they are a social team. They are not. They don't have big owners with big skyboxes. Green Bay Stadium is the same damn stadium that Bart Starr once played in the 60s. We're not; they didn't build anything special. It's pretty much the exact same thing.
And they did build,
I have friends that go there all the time, and I've seen pictures. I have, you know, they love the stadium because it's so much, and you know, and I have friends that literally travel around. Like they're deadheads. They will follow the Vikings to every city in the United States, and their favorite stadium by far is the Packers, Packers Stadium. And the reason it is because it's smaller, it's more compact, and it's what real football is played like. They don't have money. Green Bay isn't a big city. It's not a big market team. Minnesota, not a big market team. Technically, Seattle, not a big market team. Big market teams, if we're going to go with the thought process that it's always the ones with the money, then that would then mean that the only teams that would be winning every year would be the big market teams.
I think that Baltimore
is also not a big market team at all.
The logic, though, is flawed because, see, the thing is, nowadays, you know, talk about the Cowboys. All right, I live in Washington, D.C., all right, and I'm a lifelong Redskins fan, okay? The tracks of my tears, okay? So let me tell you something. The Cowboys fans in the Washington, D.C. area, you would not believe how many there are. The Pittsburgh Steelers fans in Washington, D.C., unbelievable, okay? I'm sure that the Pittsburgh Steelers bumper stickers outnumber Redskin bumper stickers probably 2-1. All right, and you have to say, with somebody like the Green Bay Packers, I mean, you know, there's Green Bay Packers in Australia, you know, fans in Australia. I mean, you can't just say, all right, you know, Milwaukee is the backyard of Lambeau, so therefore the Packers is the small market. No, it's not. Okay, they're all over the United States, and they're all over the world. All right, and they're diehard fans. You know, cheeseheads everywhere. All right, so... You know, and then you talk even Boston. I mean, Boston is a major city, but it's not a huge city. And Boston Red Sox fans everywhere. Okay, you know,
Boston is not a huge city. It is a huge metro area, though.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly. Right. Like D.C.
No, it's
like
huge.
DC. Right. And you know, so you have to say, you cannot say, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers is, you know, that's a small market because they don't have fans all over the place. You know, they go from the National League to the American League to the National League. You know, you don't know where they're at. You know, they got this logo, and it's, the logo's different. You know, so if you look at the Cowboys, you know, the kid that rode my bus when I was a little girl that wore the Cowboys jacket, his father was rich, and he had a Cowboys jacket. This is in the 60s when nobody had any money, all right? So this kid was an outcast. He sat behind the bus driver. Nobody sits behind the bus driver when you're a kid, all right, unless you're the outcast kid with the Dallas Cowboys jacket on in the Redskins bus, you know? So, you know, the Cowboys fans are everywhere, you know? So you can't really talk about it the way we used to talk about it when we were kids and say, oh, the Raiders, you know, earlier in the program tonight, I heard it mentioned that they're looking at a team and reacting to them and saying, oh, that was like a Raiders-like, you know, play. And see, if the Detroit Lions are playing and that Sue, the guy who steps on the quarterback all the time, you know, if you've got a guy like that, you know, it doesn't matter because Detroit doesn't exist. Detroit as a city does not exist. There's no way they're ever going to make it. If they make it, it's going to be, you know, the sports programs and the sports talking heads, with my apologies to Jeff, you know, they have to have a story. They make a story. It's the Cinderella story of the Detroit Lions, who, you know, our city is falling, you know, to pieces around us, and we make it to the Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. There's no, you know, ostracized rich kid sitting behind the bus driver wearing a Detroit Lions jacket. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I have a theory. I have a theory about, and it's not profound, about why there's so many. I found that there are a lot of Generation Xers that are Steelers fans, and Millennials like my own kids that are Cowboys fans. And the reason is, when they were growing up, when they first started to be aware of watching football, it was, mm-hmm. you know, if you were growing up in the, you know, the early 90s and mid 90s, the Cowboys were always winning. So there were a lot of Cowboys fans, you know, guys that are now, you know, kids that are now in their, you know, late 20s, maybe 30 years old, are Cowboys fans. Mm-hmm. And then you go back half a generation before that, back in the Terry Bradshaw days, the kids who grew up watching the Steelers, like, I'm going to guess Heidi is in that group.
You're right. You're right.
And my brother-in-law, born and raised in New Jersey, in the shadow of Giant Stadium, was a lifelong Steelers fan. He's in his 40s. So.
That's
when you had a team like you know, the Eagles in the 90s were horrible, and you know, some people like me, I root for the home team, but not everybody does that.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Jeff. I started watching the Steelers when I was 8 years old. That's how I learned about football, was watching the Steelers. I could, you know, when I was a kid at 8 years old, I could name you the starting lineups for the Steelers on both sides of the ball, tell you the whole coaching staff, tell you all the stats. You know, that is exactly who I grew up with. You know, I lived through the 80s, still being a Steelers fan, even though we were awful, you know, lived through most of the 90s, same thing, you know. You know, we're good, we're bad, we're mediocre, and that's just the way it is. It's always been my team. You know, the Vikings have always usually been like somewhere in the middle, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's just, they're just, I've never had that same feeling. And it's, that's how I learned football, that's who I learned about, and, you know, it's always been my favorite. And I don't know. And it's, but it's weird that you would put it in that generational thing about who is a fan because of who is winning at that point. And that would mean that, you know, kids who were kids during the 2000s probably are Patriots fans. It would be interesting to know if that's the case, if they, if, you know, Patriots are their team, because they, you know, they were very good during the 2000s. So that, you know, it's just kind of an interesting dichotomy for a lot of people.
Yeah. So do you think there's going to be an upset or two Sunday?
Well, it would be nice to see the Colts win.
If Belichick is not able to set up his cameras, his telescopic lenses, to steal the Lions' signals.
Dave, do you think that there is a chance that the Colts could beat the Patriots? I mean, you know, when you look at them on paper, they're not all that different. You know, they both have great quarterbacks. They have, you know, I mean, it's very interesting just to look at it on paper and take a look at the teams. And if you don't know who everybody is, so if you take off the Patriot and the Colts logo and just look at the stats, they're pretty similar in a lot of ways. What do you think?
Well, I'm not actually a huge football fan, but I mean, I'm always of the opinion that, you know, anybody can win any given game. The Patriots, I mean, you know, I saw the Patriots lose to Cincinnati by what? How many billion points in September?
Yeah.
You know, it was ridiculous.
Right.
I do think in when you're talking about Tom Brady earlier,
mm-hmm.
like how long
right.
can he play?
Right.
I just something in me says that, you know, he plays more with his brain than he does with overall great physical attributes. You know,
right.
I think that
yeah.
might lead to a longer career for him than some of his contemporaries. I mean,
right. And if you look at him versus
just unbelievable things at the most unbelievable times.
Right.
You know, I mean, look at last Saturday's game. The Patriots were down by 14 points twice, and you know, a couple of times came back with this stellar drives. You know, six, seven passes in a row to gain 75, 85 yards. I mean, it's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, it's the difference between a good team and a great team. Yeah.
His strength is his sight. I mean, when he looks down the field, he can see that open receiver where most quarterbacks will miss him. But you're right; he's not as mobile as he once was. He's, you know, if you compare him to quarterbacks that are out there now, like RG3 and you know Cam Newton. You know, neither one of those two players, I don't think, would be able to go to the age of 35 or 36 as quarterback because of the way that they play. You know, Tom Brady plays with his brains a lot, and when I say that, I'm not disparaging any other quarterback in the NFL. I'm just saying, even though I'm not a Patriots fan at all, you have to admire his. You know, his grasp of the game and his knowledge and just the way he plays it, it's pretty impressive.
As an aside to Jeff, do you think the Patriots have any particularly dirty players at the moment?
I don't think so.
I think that's the guy, however you pronounce his first name. I think he's just bad news, period. The Patriots, a year or two, even when he was there, had that guy Tlaib, who I think is just, you know, bad news from day one. I mean, he is just a flat-out dirty player. I'm not saying that's why we got rid of him or why he left, but, you know. Patriots also, with one or two exceptions, have had a good record on, you know, getting rid of social bad actors and stuff like that. They acted like Kraft's wife before she died a couple of years ago. Might have had some influence there. Not the best team to be on if you want to beat up your wife on Saturday night. They don't like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just interesting. There's a lot of teams out there that, I don't know if you know this, like the Vikings have serious issues with that type of thing. As far as with arrests, there's a lot of arrests on our team, you know, for stupid things like, you know, having a fight with your wife, drunk driving. When Randy Moss was with us, he ran over a meter maid. I mean, he didn't hurt her, but he bumped her.
Yeah. That said, we have a trial starting for a guy accused of 3 murders this week. So I guess that was I conveniently forgot about that.
He's carrying.
That was really bad
for everybody.
That's
and I probably couldn't be on that jury because I think he's guilty of sin.
Well, did you watch the CNN program on Aaron Hernandez?
No, I didn't watch any.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just, you live up here, you've been bombarded by it by 2 years. There's no watch anything specific on it, but no.
Yeah, they kind of went through everything as far as his career before and what he is. That was a big, ugly situation. And isn't he on trial for 3 murders?
I think there's one now, and then there'll be a second trial on 2 that happened before this one. But yeah, it is. I did say 3. It is 3 total. But then again, he went to Florida, I think, before played for us. He was enabled from day one, I guess.
That's a terrible story. Yeah.
So are you watching? You're not a huge football fan. Do you watch the playoffs or do you not?
I watch most of the games. I don't, you know, I don't watch them all. I often, you know, don't watch the whole 60 minutes. I'll be honest with you. Years ago when people used to talk about dumb football players. And somebody pointed out that it was probably in many ways the most complex sport around. I'll actually admit to some lack of understanding of parts of it. You know, I'm not one of these guys that, you know, sit there and watch some right tackle or something, you know, and see what he does in the game. You know, I just, like any casual fan, just watch him throw the ball.
Yeah,
there's a lot
to it. And now there's a whole generation of kids that grew up playing Madden, the Madden game, which is really gets into all the intricacies and strategies and plays and stuff, and they understand all the X's and O's better than somebody like me. I guess that's why I like, you know, if you have a good color commentator, if we have a really good one locally, Mike Quick, who used to be a wide receiver for the Eagles, you know, as soon as the play is over, he'll explain in detail what happened, and they show the replay, and look at this, look at that, and, you know, Madden was good for that. But I guess Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are calling the NFC game, and Phil Simms and somebody else, some other idiot, is calling the AFC game.
More Joe Buck?
I don't know.
Who is Joe Buck's partner?
Troy Aikman.
Yeah. I really can't stand either one of the they are just really difficult to listen to usually for me. I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of either one of them.
Yeah, well, you're not alone. When I watch the Eagles, I put the TV on mute and I put the radio on. because we've got two really terrific, and then we have a great, you know, play-by-play guy and a great color guy, and it's way better than unfortunately I have to look at Joe Buck's face once in a while, but I don't have to hear his stupid commentary.
Yeah, I tried to do that, but the problem is I have to listen to it on Sirius, since obviously it's not local, and Sirius is like, I don't know, 2-3 seconds ahead of what I'm watching, so I tried it once, and yeah, they're calling fumble touchdown. It's like, okay, what game am I watching? The wrong game? But yeah, they're that's one problem with watching it, is if they, you know, if they're about ready to score, you know that they score before they even get the ball to the quarterback.
I tried that once. On regular terrestrial radio, it's pretty much in sync with the game. Once in a while, it'll be off by about a half a second or so, which
right.
sometimes makes a big difference. But off by like anything on more than a minute, you really can't watch it.
Yeah, so I just have to deal with listening to them. Yeah, they're just not very good. Especially when you're used to, John Madden was the announcer for the longest time, and I actually didn't mind him so bad. I liked him much more than I liked Joe Buck, that's for sure. I was going to say, getting back to your question about an upset, the only one that I can see would, of course, be Indianapolis beating the Patriots. They could. I mean, they're not, a slouch team by any stretch of the imagination. Regarding the other game, I think that's, the Packers versus Seahawks, I think that either team could easily win that game. I don't think either one of them has it in the bag. Do you know who is favored in the Seahawks-Packers game, Jeff?
No. I'm not following the odds, but usually the home team has an advantage.
Right.
But I think they seem to be evenly matched. It's just a matter of can Aaron Rodgers handle the Seahawks defense. That'll probably be a good game. I don't know.
So it looks like it's Green Bay by 7. And I think I'm reading this line right. It's saying the Colts by 6.5.
Favored. Wow.
To make sure that I'm reading it right, I'm going to make sure that I have this correct. But yeah, it certainly looks that way. So that's very interesting if that's the case.
Like the way the odd works, usually home field, you automatically get three points, and then I don't know how the rest of it is calculated. It depends on, like,
I don't know. I've never bet on football.
Yeah,
that's interesting. But okay. So the Seahawks are, I did read it wrong. The Seahawks are 6.5 to 7 point favorites over the Packers. And the Patriots are between 6.5 and 7 over the Colts. So I did read it wrong. So that's what they're saying right now.
A touchdown, yeah.
Yeah, which is really nothing really. Let's see. It looks like they played in the first week, the Seahawks and the Packers, and I think the Packers lost, didn't they? I think they did. So, it's kind of a rematch, I guess, of that game.
And New England, creamed the Colts earlier this year, I think.
Oh, really? Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would, you know, it would be interesting to see, you know, what happens if we, you know, depend, it will really depend on, you know, see how everybody, you know, when the Broncos played the Colts, it seemed like they came out half asleep, like they, you know, you start watching the game at the beginning, it didn't seem like they were firing in all cylinders, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, watch the Patriots and the Colts. Did the Colts just get up for the Bronco game and they, you know, can't get, you know, get that fired up for the Patriots? It's going to be, you know, it's going to be an interesting thing. Jeff, there's another caller. I'm going to put them on the phone. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
That's just me checking back in. I didn't have anything to say. I had screwed up one phone and I came back in.
Ah, I was going to say your area code's completely different. Okay.
Oh, yeah. My cell phone. We have overlay area codes in highly populated areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't recognize the area code, and I usually recognize your area code. So, okay.
We got that, too. I thought Michael from last week was going to call. He had on the wall.
Oh, yeah. There's only the two callers that we have that we've had.
If two callers plus two hosts, by what I know from you guys in the past, it's probably the highest average intelligence quotient that ever participated in sports talk radio. Because if you've ever listened to it on the radio in your car,
I can't.
Don't let people
I can't
call
do
you
it.
Are total morons.
I can't do it. No. I can't watch sports. Listen to sports radio. I don't understand most of it because I don't follow like all the intricacies of it. I just watch the games. You know, I don't really pay much attention to individual players or trades. When it's trade week or whatever for baseball, like that's all a big thing. And draft weekend for football, I don't care about.
Oh, really?
So
Jeff, do you do fantasy football?
Yeah, I did it a couple times.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, when you're talking about the football fans, so I watch the draft. Probably not yeah. as much the second day, but I watch the draft. This year I had four fantasy football teams, so I'm pretty much into football a lot.
The only thing I'm really interested in is the Jets desperately need a quarterback. So I'd be interesting to see who they need to pick a quarterback on their first pick because they don't have a quarterback now.
So what's up with Geno?
He sucks, and Vic. He's old and Vic gets like one good game a season, and I hope they cut him loose.
Geno
is inconsistent.
Right. So that was a bust already.
On my other team, I think Nick Foles if he gets healthy again, he's got a good season ahead of him. Next year, but other than that, I don't really pay much attention. The only time I paid attention to the draft really was when Andy Reid first took over the Eagles. They had a quarterback problem. They had a really bad quarterback problem, and Ricky Williams was supposed to be the first draft pick of And Andy Reid passed over Ricky Williams and picked Donovan McNabb instead. And
everybody booed.
You want to talk about radio sports talk idiocy? I mean, they were ready to tar and feather this guy for not drafting Ricky Williams.
I watched that draft, and I remember all the screaming and all the angry fans. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And it turned out to be the right choice because Donovan McNabb was not one of the all-time greats. I don't know if he'll make the Hall of Fame, but you know, the Eagles had overall a pretty good run. You know, with him as quarterback.
Right.
Then he left and you got Michael Vick.
Was great. That was a mistake. Interesting, there was a time, I forgot when it was, the year that Donovan got traded to the Redskins. That summer, I was spending a lot of time in Arlington, Virginia, and I would take Amtrak to Union Station and then take the Metro. And every Metro car had pictures of Donovan McNabb in a Redskins jersey, and it was just like so weird to look at. I don't remember what year that was, but yeah, I was. That summer, I was going down on Mondays and coming home either Thursday or Friday, pretty much the entire summer. I think it was 2010. I'm not sure.
Wow.
And you know, to get on the train and see that, you know, that Donovan in the maroon jersey was disconcerting.
Ouch! Yeah, well, you know, you remember when the Brett Favre came to the Vikings? That was 4 or 5 years ago, and he actually played pretty well for the Vikings. It was interesting though. There was still a lot of Vikings fans that just could not stomach the fact that Brett Favre, who they hated, There's a radio station here that, they do that sickening drive time, crap where they have the, the talking heads on in the morning and they try to do, stupid things. There was one about, I don't know, I think it was like 1998, 1999, and, they did this skit where they pretended that they went to Brett Favre's hotel room, and it was answered by this woman that was not his wife, and it was, inferred that he was with somebody else, and they got all kinds of crap for it. And so, so it was weird when Brett Favre became the quarterback for the Vikings, because there was still so many people that didn't like him, and it was just, you see people with Favre jerseys with the name crossed out, but the actual, they spent money for the jersey, but then they crossed out his name, which I thought was kind of stupid. But, football's weird that way, in that how you can't, there's certain players that you cannot see on your team, and he was just simply one of them. And, but he did pretty well with us, so, they begrudgingly cheered for him. There's still people today, even today, they're like, we're going to forget about the Favre years. So, and he'll probably be in the Hall of Fame. And I think, you said Donovan McNabb may be in the Hall of Fame. His numbers were pretty good, weren't they?
He just never won a Super Bowl. And neither did Dan Marino. Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl either.
Dan Marino was a great quarterback. But, that's true. you know, it's kind of sad to see that Peyton will only get one, and it's interesting that his brother got two. You know, when you look at them side by side, one of them's much more talented than the other, at least when you take a look at them side by side, I guess. The younger quarterbacks now, I think, are much different than, you know, like a Brett Favre and Tom Brady. It seems like they have different, they just seem different to me. You know, Russell Wilson seems to play a little bit different, maybe a little bit more running, maybe a little bit more, you know, maybe more short passes versus long. But so it's interesting to watch the game change and evolve as the seasons go on. You know, like I said before, I'm a big fan of the defensive side of the ball, and it seems like as the years progress, more of the things that defensive players were allowed to do are no longer allowed. So it does take a little bit of it out of the game, but, you know, I guess for safety reasons, it needs to be. So we have about... We were going to go till the end of the...
We don't have to.
Okay.
We're all out of things to talk about.
Yeah, we have about 23 minutes left.
Predictions. I'm going to... I would love to see... I would love to see Indianapolis win, and mm-hmm. I'd like to see Green Bay win. I could live with either one of those NFC teams, but I'm really, you know, I'd like to see New England get knocked out, especially at home.
Yeah, I concur. Yeah, I'd much prefer to see Indianapolis go. It would be kind of nice to see them go to the Super Bowl, but yeah, on the other side, the NFC side. You know, I would be fine with either the Packers or the Seahawks. I would prefer the Seahawks because I tend to like them more. I like the young team. They were really fun last year in the Super Bowl. Although you kind of worry that if they did make it to the Super Bowl for 2 years in a row, if they would be able to do it again. But yeah, that side of the ball, or that side of that conference, I don't care as much as the other one, I guess. And whoever, if the Patriots go, whoever the NFC sends will be the one I'm going to be looking to see beat them. I mean, you know, their game wasn't that great that they played. I mean, I didn't think that their game on Saturday was that great. I thought that they had a lot. It looked like they had a lot of holes. You know, they were just better. They weren't as bad. So, were you able to watch the game, Jeff, or did you not watch it?
I watched some of it. I didn't watch all of it. I had it on kind of in the background. That was the one game I didn't see the whole thing of.
Right. Yeah.
I think I may have fallen asleep or something. Or other. Sunday night.
Yeah, I thought the Ravens looked kind of, I don't know. I mean, they only lost by 4 points. I mean, they could have, I don't know, you know, they make mistakes, and you watch the game, and you know, think that they could have absolutely won that game. And I didn't think either team really played that game that great. I thought they had some serious issues, but you know, the
sometimes
Patriots
you just
really
get a premonition though that you after a while, like, and I know this from being a long-suffering Eagles fan and Jets fan that. Sometimes, you know, no matter how well you think they're playing or no matter what kind of lead they have, you just get that feeling that they're gonna blow it, and that was the feeling I got with the Ravens that They just weren't gonna. They weren't gonna pull it out.
Right. Yeah.
Brady was gonna do his comebacks that he's, you know, so famous for. Well known for.
I know. Yeah.
Is Kathy still online? She may have dropped off.
Let me see. It looks like everybody's dropped. Dropped off.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well,
so it's just
one more prediction. Who's going to pick up Ray Rice next year?
I don't know. Let's see. Who needs a running back? What, the Raiders? The Raiders need a running back. Jeez. Who's going to pick up Adrian Peterson? Because I don't know. I mean, it hasn't been announced, but I would not assume that he would be coming back to the Vikings. I would think that Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson would both be free agents next year.
Yeah.
You can play with Vic. Everybody will be on the same team. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, you know, the Steelers have a good running back. Seattle has Marshawn Lynch. I don't know, Kansas City, maybe. Yeah. Maybe St. Louis. It's hard to know. You know, because then there's that other issue, too, is, you know, they both have some baggage, although Ray Rice's baggage, you could argue, is maybe worse than Adrian Peterson's, at least because you have, you know, video evidence of it. I don't know. I guess that could be argued both ways. But, I don't know. There's teams out there that wouldn't take them because of the stuff that happened. They just don't want the drama, and they don't want the crap going on. So maybe Arizona. I don't know. It's hard to say. Did you have a thought on that?
No. Maybe Kansas City. Is Andy Reid still a coach at Kansas City?
Oh, that's a good question.
I wonder if Tony Dungy is going to take Ray Rice under his wing like he did with Michael Vick.
Well, he was talking him up, so I could see that.
Yeah. So he's probably going to help shop him around.
Andy Reid's still their coach.
You think anybody's going to pick up Michael Sam next year?
You know, I watched some of Sam when he was in college. He's a little small, and I think that was the issue with him, isn't it? Is he a little small?
Well, I think Jerry Jones cynically picked him up for the practice squad for the publicity.
Yeah.
And then it became apparent after, you know, early on in the season that the Cowboys were going to be a good team and they were going to have a good season.
Right.
But they figured it was okay to let him go.
Yeah.
I rarely watch college football. We can't even get Rutgers games here. And Rutgers is the closest thing to a home team we have in New Jersey. And now that they're with the Big Ten, they're on more often. When they were with the Big East, they would be on like ESPNW, you know, or some stupid channel that I can't get. Yeah. You know?
Really?
I
can get every freaking college football game ever. It doesn't matter if it's a little. Every channel on my TV is college football during the season. Every ESPN channel, every channel.
Same thing here, but except for Rutgers. ABC usually plays shows Big East games on Saturdays, and I'd put on ABC expecting to see Rutgers, and it would be like, you know, Maryland and Cincinnati or something. And why doesn't the Philly ABC affiliate show the Rutgers games? So I'd have to, you know, find some online thing if I was that interested. You know. But if Rutgers is on TV, I watch them. My brother used to have season tickets, and I used to go once or twice a year to a game because they're right up the road. If they ever play Temple, Temple's a Big East team now, and they show Temple on TV a lot, usually every Saturday, and that's a great way to get into the Eagle Stadium without going bankrupt. Just go to a Temple game.
Nice.
The tickets are cheap, and nobody goes, and you can, you know, buy the cheap seats and move down to the 50-yard line.
Wow.
Unless they're playing like, you know, Penn State or Notre Dame or something, a team that brings in a lot of, you know, interest. But typical, you know, Temple game doesn't draw.
Is Penn State still a big draw?
What's that?
Is Penn State still a big draw?
Whenever Penn State comes to either Rutgers or Temple, it's a big game.
Nice.
It's a sellout. And so the Rutgers would play when they were, even before they were in the Big East, they would play like one powerhouse team a year. You know, like, so Miami was in the Big East at the time, or, you know, like they'll bring in like Texas or Notre Dame seems to have a universal fan base. Penn State had a universal fan base, which that'll come back. Now they're talking about retroactively exonerating Paterno. I saw some out of the corner of my eye on the news this morning about that. I don't know if that made the news out your way, but
pretty soon,
by next year, the whole thing will be all forgotten. And I like that when Penn State came to Rutgers, the Rutgers fans had at least signed Head State and were waving them. And the president of Rutgers had felt compelled to apologize to Penn State for that. But I'd say fuck them.
Whenever I see that, you know, see a highlight with them, I, you know, now it's, you know, before it used to be all about the coach, and now it's all about, you know, something sinister and ugly. So, which is sad. And it was a great program, but, you know, what happened there was pretty awful. Did you watch the national championship last night? Oregon Ducks and Ohio State?
Nah.
No?
No, like I said, I'm not that interested in college football. They arbitrarily picked four teams to be the final four, and it's not a true bracket type playoff system like the basketball tournament or like any other sport.
I don't understand this.
Really, the sport has a bracket type elimination system, and maybe with college football you can't do it because it's so much like disparity in the sizes of the programs, you know, maybe you just can't do it.
Yeah.
There's no parity at all.
No. I mean, you know, it has looked. You know, I watched some of the game because, like you, I'm not a huge fan of college football. I don't watch it very often. But it seemed like, you know, when I did tune in, the Oregon Ducks seemed very outmatched. And, you know, of course, Ohio State's a Big Ten team, and they're tough, and they're almost like, I mean, they are seriously almost like an NFL team. The players are really big. They don't, you know, they have really good players. They are extremely talented. And so it almost seemed a little bit like it was misplaced, mismatched. But you're right. They did the playoffs or whatever, however they, whatever terminology they used, but it didn't seem like it really did anything. But there would have to be some sort of way to do it so it's fairer, like you said, some sort of, like the NCAA basketball tournament. Obviously, football is a little bit different because it's a contact sport. Right. You can only do 1 week.
I just got a message from Michael. He says he's on hold, so we could slip him in the last few minutes of the
because Brian's done here.
Don't let him in.
Okay. Hi, Michael. We only have about 8 minutes left, so we don't have a lot of time to talk.
Okay, yeah. It's only going to take a few moments. Yeah, I just got in myself. The one thing I think people need to really take focus of the NFL championship, and it's throughout the entire season, is the shoddy officiating that's been going on through many of the games. A lot of inconsistencies, and there have been many teams that have gotten the short end of the stick. My New York teams, for one thing, New York Jets and New York Giants, been getting the short end of the sticks, and that resulted in multiple losses to where neither of them made the championship, and I thought it was kind of unfair. The one major question is it's been concerns if some of these officials are fixing the outcome of certain games, and just as my teams have been getting the short end of the stick. There have been a lot of times where, let's say, the New England Patriots and the defending champion Seattle Seahawks have been getting away with a lot of violations or irregularities. You know, it's like I said, a lot of inconsistent officiating and rulings and the refereeing going on. It's been concerns not only of the fixing of some of these games, but also if politics was playing a part in it. And let's put it this way. We've seen it happen with the Olympics, especially when at the time the president, George W. Bush, visited China, or I forgot what country the Olympics occurred in. But when the people saw Bush in attendance, a lot of Team USA was getting the short end of the stick, no matter how well they had performed. So take my team, New York Giants and the New York Jets, that both play in MetLife Stadium, which is in New Jersey, but the reason they're called New York is because they're in the New York metro area. But I know how people have gotten pissed off at New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. So I don't know. It's been a lot of controversial officiating going on throughout this entire season. And you wonder, if there's a Super Bowl with New England Patriots versus Seattle Seahawks, it's one of those things that really going to make you go, and make you wonder, was Michael making a point here?
Yeah, well, here's my feeling about this, and we have 5 minutes left, Jeff, so I'm going to make my comment short. Here's my issue with that thought process. My issue is, I have the NFL Sunday ticket. So with that, I'm able to watch more than one game, and I do. I watch part of the, you know, I watch, you know, the Steelers game. I watch, you know, I'll watch the Ravens game. I mean, I will watch, you know, the Giants game. I watch, I will just watch game after game after game all Sunday, depending on who's, you know, who's winning, who's losing, whatever. And, you know, when I watch the games, what I would say is I don't have an issue with the officiating, no matter who is playing. And I say that in as a fan of more than one team. Yes, as I said before, I'm a Steelers fan first and foremost, but I have a lot of other teams that I watch and I like. I like the Giants. I like the Ravens. You know, those are teams that I like as well. And, you know, I don't buy into this grand conspiracy theory that the officials are bought by whoever, because I look at it this way. If that was actually absolutely the case, what happened on Sunday with the Cowboys wouldn't have happened. Bottom line, the Cowboys would be here in the championship game without a doubt. It would not be, that would just be what it would be. It would not be the Packers. It would be the Cowboys. The Cowboys are America's team. Cowboys haven't been in, you know, in the Super Bowl for a very long time. They have a lot of fans worldwide and nationally. Jerry Jones has political connections, as does the Patriots owner. But it's pretty much the same idea. Packers are a small market team. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, again, like I said, I don't buy into that thought process, because then we wouldn't be talking about the Packers possibly going to the Super Bowl. Now, we only have about two minutes and 40 seconds left. Jeff, what did you have to say?
I'm done.
Okay.
I'm going to root for the both away teams.
Yes.
And then probably the whoever the NFC team is in the Super Bowl.
Good.
That's it for me.
Just one final question before I go, and that is that just as the players and even the coaches are evaluated on a year-by-year basis, do you think referees should be evaluated in terms of their competence?
Well, as far as, you know, as far as referees go, they, you know, they have a rule book to follow. Are they human? Yes. Can they make mistakes? Yes. We do have a replay system in place for certain types of plays. Coaches on both sides are allowed to challenge plays. They do every game I watch, there seems to be at least one challenge. They either win it or they don't. And so that's probably, you know, I would say today is much fairer, if you will, and much more erring on the side of caution than, say, 15 years ago. I think that there's less issues now than there ever was. I remember plays in the 80s and the 90s that completely were big, huge mistakes that you don't see as much any longer. So we have a minute left.
Thank you.
At this point, Jeff, did you want to say bye? Are you done completely?
Ponder this. The Immaculate Reception.
Ah, yeah.
May have been overturned on replay when you look at it now.
Yeah.
I'll just toss
mm-hmm.
that out there for you to ponder.
That's true. You're absolutely right. It probably would have been. Yeah. And that's not the only one. That would be an interesting show to go through too. But so we have less than 30 seconds.
I'm done.
So yep, I'm done too. Happy football watching, everybody, and have a great night.
Next year's the Bears.
Bye.
Bye.